Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildev and also my co-host, Weaver of Dreams, Gray Eye Smith, and Poetic Picasso. Welcome, welcome. Just to tell you a little bit about us, our group is titled The Late Night Poets, and you can find us on allpoetry.com. It's a free poetry site to join, and also you can find our books on Amazon, Late Night Poet Anthologies, where all the poets have dedicated and sent in poems to help support the radio group in these shows, also after midnight show. So please check us out. So we have a great night of poetry. We have some contests on poems that were not read, a couple of open poetry poems, and also it is February, the first week of February, so woo, we're going. going to be reading front page picks of all the poets that were chosen for the front page. Congratulations. And also, I want to give special thanks to White Hawk. White Hawk donated me points, and I will be giving them as gifts to all the front page readers for the month of January, and we are now collecting February. So I'm going to pick up our callers and so we can get started. And who is this beauty from Scotland?
Oh, hello, Hen. It's myself. How do you do?
Howdy, howdy. Welcome to the
Hi.
Show, Katie.
Thank you, darling.
And let's pick up our next caller. I believe this is the buttery voice that I enjoy to hear every time he reads. Is it so? Is it so?
Could it be? Could it be? Yes, it is.
Hi, Laurent. Welcome to the show. So happy to have
you. Thank
you
so much.
I'm always happy to see you. I'm always happy to see you.
Good to hear you, Louie. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Laurent.
We have another caller, caller 778, and this is my right-hand man. This is Gray Eye Smith. Gray Eyes.
Hello. Hi, Weaver. Hi, Lawrence.
Hey, Gray.
Hey, Gray. And we have another caller, and this must be the Spanish lover from Spain. Is it so? Is it so?
Pero unless it's Banderas, it'd be a wrong number, then, wouldn't it?
So, hello,
hello,
Frank.
Hello there.
Welcome, everybody. So we are going to get started because we have tons of poetry. Okay, Katie, let her rip.
Okay, my darling, coming up. Here we are. First one we have is Optimist Club by Jack Tomakovich. So, Laurent, could you read this for us, please?
Of course.
Thank you.
Yeah. Optimist Club by Jack Tomkovic. To those who thought Simon and Garfunkel's Hello Darkness, My Old Friend was a happy, uplifting song, welcome to the club. Sticks too much time on my hands, and foreigners urgent help complete the queue. While we wait for Godot and Lefty, stuck in a molasses bog in January, freezing and sneezing, stomping frozen feet for the second coming, which won't be on pay-per-view. And if you think that JFK or JFK Jr. are returning to Dealey Plaza in Dallas anytime soon, man, I have a selection of bridges and unicorns waiting in Cleveland for your approval. End poem.
Fantastic read, Laurent. I really enjoyed this poem by Jack Tomkovic, and he says in his author's note, just a thought about how we see the world, Wagmore, Barkless is my motto, happy everything. And that was just a fantastic poem, you know. I really like his sense of humor. This one kind of went to a sharp side, and, you know, it just brought up a lot of different memories that, you know, with these different songs, and especially this right here where he goes, sticks too much time on my hands and foreigners urgent help complete the creek. And I really thought that he did a fantastic job in stating what he was feeling. And I would like to know what you thought about the poem, Weaver.
Oh, yes, this is really, really good, Jack. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
That first stanza is, you know, that's just the one that got me. To those who thought Simon and Garfunkel's Hello Darkness, My Old Friend was a happy, uplifting song, welcome to the club. So clever. And the fact that he's looking for people to buy his bridges and unicorns. Perfect. Oh, yes. Yeah, he's got them sussed out. He's not a silly lad. Yes, I thought it was very witty, very funny, very well written, and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Gray Eye?
Well, I thought Lauren did a great job reading it, but, you know, I liked his sense of humor. That was definitely reflected in his poem. like you said, it was a bit on the sharp side, but that's fantastic, though. You know, he has a bright outlook on the future, that's for sure. Beautiful poem.
Agreed. Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Frank?
Well, you know, there's a lot of reference in this poem to musical references and to historical references in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was just a wonderful recollection, you know, of memories, you know, that he conjured, and is not really conjured, but memories that he, you know, he thought about, and he put this poem together, and it just makes you think at times, you know, all the things that we've gone through in, you know, our own history, and so be it. So we've got memories for him to share, so I thought it was a delightful poem, you know, like the sentiments addressed in this poem.
Thank you. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Laurent? You did a great job in reading it. What did you think?
Yeah, great read.
Thank you. I told Jack that he puts perspective on affairs of the world in such a light that possible realities pushed under the sharp edge of wit and irony, compounded by his unicorn salesmanship.
Thank you, Laurent. Okay, fantastic. We're off to a great start this evening. We're ready for our next poem.
Right. The next one we have is Quoted by Forgotten Dream. Quoted by Forgotten Dream, I'm presuming. I'll read this one, shall I? Yes, I shall. Come on. I say that and it doesn't open up. Do not be dull. Come on. This happens quite a lot with my laptop. It doesn't seem to want to open anything.
Don't worry, my computer's as slow as molasses.
My phone as well, I would agree with that.
No, it's not. Damn, I'm going to open. Oh my goodness me, what is wrong with it?
You want me to try and read?
Yes, darling, if you would, because it's not going to.
Okay, I will try, and hopefully I won't be so bad second hour. So here we go. This is titled Coated by Forgotten Dreams. Roasted cocoa and vanilla breath waft as mouth salivates at the arousing scent. My body begins to stir at the closeness, unfurling like a vibrant puppy. Your silken baritone voice drips over me like creamy fudge, hot, sticky, sweet notes dribbling down contours. Confectionery kisses trail from earlobe across stretched neck into the dips and crevices of my blushed frame. Warm laughs reverberate into flushing, dewy skin. Bits of you trembly deep into bones, imbuing like strongly steeped tea in pump. And Katie, do you want to direct the comments since I read, or do you want me to do it?
No, I'll do it. Thank you, my dear. No problem.
Okay.
Gray, would you like to comment, please?
Sure. That was a beautiful read, Leah. And I like the poem, you know, it starts off with the smell and the taste as your mouth salivates and, you know, her body begins to stir in a closeness and burling like a vibrant poppy. And, you know, I really like confectionery kisses trail from earlobe across stretched neck into the dips and crevices of my twisting blush. Really passionate and sensual. I really liked it. It was well done.
Oh, sorry. I forgot that was me. I'm going, okay, who's going to... Honestly, really, I need two brains. I couldn't have my brains not working. So, Laurent, would you care to comment?
Yeah, the title Coded applies so well. Mm. The poet gives us this wonderful formula of roasted cocoa and vanilla breath, the creamy fudge, confectionery kisses, all those things combining. It could be a syrup that pours over a body prior to sex, but here the baritone voice, the silken baritone voice, is what pours over the body. It's very clever, right? Very erotic. Well, sexual.
Oh, yes. Hello. Frank. Frank, did you comment?
Well, you know, which of these elements here I would like to be coated, whether it's creamy fudge or it's vanilla, which are both I enjoy. I just thought this poem was very sensual. Every line, the imagery here was striking. I thought I agree with the lines there that were said by, I believe it's Gray, the confectionery kisses. That was very sexy there. This poem, you know, it's not really a long poem. It's just a very, very, very nicely written. Metaphors are perfect, and I thought it was just a great poem. And I'm assuming this was a carryover from a central poem, I know, central poetry, or was it?
Yeah, touch me without using your hands.
No, it's definitely wasn't. She was definitely inspired, I could tell.
Thank you very much. Gray, I've already asked you, Gray. Yes, I have. Sorry. Okay. Well,
you better ask yourself.
That'll be me now. Let me just pick myself off. Hang on. Tick, 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 tick. I'm ticked. Okay. Yes. I'm having a great time. Don't worry. I'm having a party over here.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a party and a nervous breakdown. This can't be bad. I thought this was incredibly sensual, obviously, beautifully, beautifully put together in a way that you would just want to listen and listen. Roasted cocoa and vanilla breath. Wow. Wafted by as mouth salivates at the arousing scent. My body began. Well, just leave it at that. Wonderful. I'm getting all hot and bothered again. my goodness. Okay, yeah, so beautifully, beautifully written, and I liked it very much. And without any touching, we had so much fun. So thank you so much for that. And Lou, you read it. Would you like to make a comment?
Oh, it was a joy to read. And just a comment to Frank. Fudge is very thick to lick up, and it takes several licks to get to the center of the light. And
I don't disagree with you there. I'm not disagreeing there.
And
after three dips,
I also like that your silken baritone voice drips over me like creamy fudge, hot, sticky, sweet notes dribbling down contours. When somebody writes you a poem and they read it to you, and especially if it's in that silky baritone voice, it just sends absolute delight everywhere, all over your body, especially your earlobe. I mean, that's just a total meltdown. And who would not want to indulge in this? So this was delicious.
If you ask us men here, if we would prefer to hear you read this poem, we would be just as well excited.
Well, you know what? It works both ways.
There you go, but you read the poem there.
Mm-hmm. And I was happy I got to.
Great read. Great poem.
Thank you. And we're back to you, Weaver.
Okay, I just feel sorry for all the diabetics out there. This must be torture for them.
Yeah. But, you know, licking is still can be done without calorie intake.
You got a low-calorie skin. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good selling point. I have low-calorie skin. Okay, let's just be more serious, woman. Composing Cities in Her Singing Blood by Silk Black Rose is our next composition, and I will attempt to open this and read it. Oh, my goodness me.
Well, I don't know if there was no recording.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Composing Cities in Her Singing Blood. Oh, what an immensely interesting picture. Okay. My bones hunger for the weave of your sacred flesh, tongue flaying your ribs as I flick droplets of scarlet from your singing veins, lapping the dew of your mercurial songs. You taste like pomegranates and honey, like the infinite stars of the universe aligning. You shed their light upon a waning moon, like twilight cast into the shadow of hell, where my fingertips skim the streams of your ether, plucking bits of fey melodies half heard, through the veil of divinity sorrow, sowing seeds of sable roses among the blasted stones of my requiem. Muse, your sympathy drives me to blessed madness. Let me drink of your ichor once more, so I may compose marble temples to your celestial ecstasy. Written in the blood of your heartbeats, flowing from my serrated quill, fingers bleeding to paint your visions across the tapestry of these ivory pages. As I gaze upon your reflection, the bitter dregs of my eyes rain upon the spires of your city, flavored with love and lament. For both we know the walls of your prison are paper thin, and soon you will slip away to be hunted again. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, Weaver of Silk Black Roses poem. So let's, you know what I loved about this were, you taste like pomegranate and honey, like the infinite stars of the universe aligning to shed their light upon a waning moon. Oh my goodness. That was just gorgeous. And then I liked where his muse started talking. And I really liked that one of the first that stanza where it says, your symphony drives me to blessed madness. Let me drink of your ichor once more, so I may compose marble temples to your celestial ecstasy. You know, that's just such a beautiful imagery. You know, to me it was the way poets look at love and madness and sensuality and lust is so much deeper and so much more delicious. You know, I find that poetry just sings, and this is one of these poems that do by Silk. So let's go ahead and get a comment. What did you think about the poem, Gray?
Well, I thought Weaver did a great job of reading it, but I like the poem. You know, it's dark, but it's sensual. It's rich in imagery, and, you know, you can feel his passion and his desire throughout the write. But I really liked his closing stanza. For both we know the walls of your prison are paper thin, and soon you will be slip away to be hunted again. Just a fantastic poem.
Thank you, Greg. And what did you think about the poem, Nora?
Well, I haven't had the pleasure of reading the Black Roses poems in some time, and I'm particularly struck by the fact that this poem is more mature in many ways than poems I've read of his in the past, which were wonderful, dark, and sensual poems, but written with a different perspective and a different goal in mind. This is very, I just find it very mature, extremely well written. It hit me all at once how different it is than the things I was used to and expected from it, let's say. Absolutely impressed by the entire thing. I'm not going to pick a particular stanza. I love his reference to his muse driving him to a blessed madness, which is, I think, the core of the problems many poets have, that push and that pull towards the emotion of poetry and then away from it.
A wonderful comment, Murat. Thank you so much. And what did you think about the poem? Gray. All right, ask Gray. Frank.
Yes, he's an exceptional writer. He's an exceptional reader. His poetry is always mixed, for the most part, with dark overtures and sensuality. I thought this was remarkable in the sense that the way he describes the prompt there by beginning with "my bones hunger." But I like the notion of the pomegranate and the honey. In the rest of the poem, throughout the poem, was very, very well written. It was, the metaphors are incredibly well expressed. So I thought the poem was just exceptional. I agree with Laurent.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And
you're
what
welcome.
Did you think, Weibo?
Oh, yes, it was so deep. I just thought it was very, very well written. Written in the blood of your heartbeats, flowing from my serrated core, fingers bleeding to paint your visions across the tapestries of these ivory pages. Just really, it flowed, it was easy and pleasurable to read, and I felt the passion through it. So, yes, very enjoyable. Thank you, Silk Black Rose.
I agree. Thank you, everybody. And we're ready for our next poem reader.
Okay, we have "If Life Was Easy, Everybody Would Do It" by Guilty. I'm not terribly sure if this is a male or female. So, but I will ask.
He's a male.
He's a male. Okay. So, Frank, would you like to read this, please?
No, I would if my phone allowed me to.
Okay.
I'm going to be slow tonight, it seems. So I'll have to defer to Gray, if not, for this poem.
Yeah, okay. No problem, my dear. Gray, could you read this for us, please? Are you on mute, Gray, perhaps?
I was,
let
thank
check.
You.
That's
so
okay.
Everybody would do it, but Guilty. Winding through the birth canal, here it comes, boy or gal, from darkness, no blinding lights. Or from darkness to blinding lights, someone getting spanked tonight. With what a pair of lungs. Now you've done it. The travails begin. Doting parents, you've got a pair. Lathering in-laws, big affair. Expectations are overdue. You are bright and kind of cute. Luckily, you have all your fingers and toes. Did not inherit Uncle Jared's big nose. Oh, how quickly you will grow off to school before anyone knows. In the hospital, you were switched, offspring of a warlock and a witch. End poem.
Yeah, he says that... This was written for a quote by Eleanor Roosevelt. If life were predictable, it would cease to be life and be without flavor. And, you know, I was looking at his selection of what he put. He says that this is advice, humor, life, society, and miscellaneous. And, and it's true. If life was easy, you know, a lot of times children will complain. They'll tell their parents, I wish I was never born. I didn't ask to be born. You know, something that, you know, that a lot of children say. And, you know, of course, you know, if life were that easy and we could pick and choose, you know, it wouldn't be so much. But, you know, I believe when, you know, there's hard knocks, and there's that saying, when everything has gone to the pot and everything can't get any worse, the only thing you've got left is humor. And I really admire humor during dire straits. I'm not talking making fun of. I'm talking humor. I used a lot of humor with my mom when she was in chemotherapy, you know. And, you know, right here it says, expectations are overdue. You are bright and kind of cute. Luckily you have all your fingers and toes. Do not inherit Uncle Jared's big nose. You know, this is, you know, yeah, things are bad, but, you know, look at what you got. You know, life is flavor. What did you think of this poem, Katie?
It was very good. I read the first line and I thought, where is this going, I wonder? Winding through the burnt canal, here it comes, boy or gal. From darkness to blinding light, someone's getting spanked tonight. Which, obviously, that's what they do when a baby's born, silly me. But I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was really clever. And I love the Uncle Gerard's big nose. Poor guy. Well, it keeps your sunglasses on.
That's true.
Yeah, so I thought it was actually beautifully done, and I really enjoyed it. And that last line, well, you know me and witches and warlocks, I love it. So, yes, very cleverly done. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
This is very dry, delicious, you know, delivered with a skit and a laugh in each stanza. The rhythm and flow offer that perfect timing where the first two lines tend to be relatively serious, but then the laugh comes in the next two. As by example, winding through the birth canal, here it comes, boy or gal, from darkness to blinding light, someone's getting spanked tonight. And each stanza and the pace, I just love it.
I agree. Fantastic comment, Laurent. And how about you, Frank?
Yeah, this poem, the poem, it talks about, you know, experiences, you know, as a parent, even as a child as well, you know, different lenses there, a perspective here. But, you know, expectations, you know, as parents, certain, you know, all parents, I've never been one, but I can put myself in the shade, or actually I can put myself in the lens of my own parents. Expectations are always there, you know, but I think throughout the years, as years go by, start to get older, we realize, we start accepting each other, and our parents start to accept it, you know, us even more as time expires. And that last thing, the warlock and the witch, had made me think of Bewitched for the old series. So I thought it was a fantastic poem.
Yeah, that just kind of reminded, you know, that's true. You know, parents expect a lot of you. Sometimes they expect too much because they don't allow the child to be the child. But, you know, it has to be a partial roadway of half and half. And I can imagine, like, sometimes, you know, parents, you know, the children do look at their parents as warlock and witches, which is actually quite funny. You know, they think about it, especially when they're disciplining you. What did you think, Gray? Good point.
I'll send you the broomstick.
I enjoyed the sense of humor in it. It was a fantastic read as well. But, you know, it was definitely engaging, and I liked the lyrical quality to it. You know, it kind of reminds me of a song for some reason. I think it's that ending, offspring of a warlock and a witch. You know, you were switched at birth. I really enjoyed it. Well done.
Thank you. And now we're ready for our next poem.
Okay. Our next poem is Hands Tied by Ruby 2446. And if I can open it, I will read this. Okay, got it. This is another one for Touch Me Without Using Your Hands. Okay. Your lips touch my neck. You gently find my pulse. I feel it quiver as your lips press and kiss that spot before you let your mouth find my heartbeat on my breast. Each kiss on the palpitating spot quickens the beat. I feel the pressure of desire rise and rush through my veins to each erogenous zone that quivers at the beat. A rhythm of seduction, it's your voice conducting the orchestra of desire, slow burning buildings as your mouth goes to my ear, nibbling the lobe. Poetic words of gentle erotica whispered blows to the arousal point in my brain. Velvet smooth as chocolate whispers caress the place hands could never touch. Your lips words and voice set my libido to overdrive. These touches seep deep to my core, my body crying to be satisfied. I whisper in your ear in sultry, sexy tones, see what hands tied can do, my love. End poem.
Mm-hmm. That was such a sensual and gorgeous read, Weaver. And I really love this poem by Ruby, especially the ending. Oh, my goodness. Your mouth goes to my ear, nibbling the robe. Poetic words of gentle, erotic whispered flow to the arousal point in my brain. Oh, that is powerful. Oh, my goodness. That is just deeply sensual. And then she goes on, velvet smooth as chocolate whispers caress the places hands could never touch. Your lips, words, and voice set my libido to overdrive. Oh, isn't that the most delicious foreplay ever? And what did you think about this poem, Gray?
Sorry, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, the Gray we got.
Yeah. And I thought Weaver did a wonderful job of reading the poem. But, you know, there's a tenseness in this poem that builds to the very end, where she says, see what hands can do. See what hands tied can do, my love. You know, she's, you know, they're playing with bondage and the sensuality that comes from not being able to physically touch with your hands, but having to use your lips and your kisses and your voice to titillate and sensualize such a fantastic meeting of two souls. So beautifully done.
Agreeing. Great comment, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Narat?
Your lips touch my neck. You gently find my pulse. Have we ever been in the middle of foreplay, and as the lips touch the pulse, the lips can feel the pulse quicken? Just the way she says it, I feel it quiver.
Mm-hmm.
As your lips press and kiss that. And then the three lines that she quoted, Luyu, really caught me, because the flow of action to arousal is just seamless. It's perfect. The whole thing flows, which helps such a sensual poem really do its job.
Mm-hmm. I agree totally. And how about you, Frank? Thank you, Laura.
Well, first of all, I thought it was a great read. This poem was very sensual, of course. But this, I mean, she has a wonderful, wonderful illustration of sensual poetry. You know, every time she writes this type of poetry, I've noticed. This is a very, you know, a poem itself, you know, touch me without using your hands. Using that prompt is a, you know, you have to be very creative to write a poem, you know, when you think about what the prompt stands there. But I thought overall the poem was just delicious. I mean, chocolate whispers, anything with chocolate has me going there. And I just thought this was just deeply, deeply erotic, but it was just yummy. I mean, what else can I say after that?
Right. mm-hmm. It was delicious. I agree. And Weaver, you read this poem beautifully. What did you think?
Thank you. I'm having problems with my voice at the moment because I get very dry, and that was a bit more difficult, but I hope it didn't sound awful. Oh, but
no,
I thought
some
fabulous.
Wine there, Weaver.
Oh, thank you. It just feels so odd when you can't talk properly. I thought this was I'm so glad I read it. It was so good. And each stanza, well, there's not even really stanzas, is there? Just one beautiful line after another. So you just have to pick any single one of those, and your heartbeat goes boom-pity-boom-pity-boom-pity-boom. I whisper in your ear in sultry, sexy tones, see what hands tied can do, my love. Oh, wow. That's it. You don't need no more than that. Yes, it was, yeah, very well done. And thank you so much for sharing, because I really enjoyed that, Ruby.
I agree. And now we're ready for our next poem.
And would you believe it? It's there. This is Unexpected Right. Unexpected Right. Well, I'm going to read this just to give you a little bit of a rest on our poor voice.
Okay.
We seem to have a lot of ladies tonight as well, don't we? Which is great, because I love these poems. Unexpected Ride by Betty Page. Ride my merry-go-round, mesmerized hypnotic sounds, viciously life pounds, lifts you up so high, smacks you fiercely to the ground, spins you round and round, silently pulls you wave after wave, tumbling around, caught in a strong riptide. Yet I'm addicted. Whether I'm high or I'm low, I'm in my own zone. Lost at the carnival, riding on rides endlessly, licking rice candy. End poem.
Oh, beautiful read. And wonderful poem by Betty Page. So let's go ahead and get some comments. What did you think? I had trouble getting it, so I'm going to read it. What did you think about the poem, Gray?
Well, I thought Weaver did a beautiful job of reading it, but I like the poem. You know, it really takes you through the carnival of life, you know, and how it hits you high. It lifts you up high, smacks you fiercely to the ground, spins you round and round, silently pulls you wave after wave, tumbling round, caught in strong riptides. And yet she's addicted. She's high or low in her own zone. Yeah, just fantastic, right? Beautifully written, and great take on the prompt. So well done.
Yeah, I agree. I was looking at her author's notes. She says, we were just talking about this, we never asked to be born, so we are all taken on this unexpected ride called life with its ups and downs, merry-go-rounds, pounding, tumbling in its waves, but hell, why not drink sweet candy booze and have a ball enjoying, licking and tasting the thrills, love life, I guess what she meant, has to offer. And I thought she wonderfully did this. And, you know, she talks about how it's a dizzying merry-go-round where you don't, you know, either you're holding on for your life or you fall off. Or, you know, there's times when you spin around so much and you tumble around and, you know, you get hurt. You do get hurt. But, you know, she says, yet I'm addicted, whether I'm high or I'm low, I'm in my own zone. You know, just to be yourself, you know, yeah, the licks hurt, but being a wolf at heart, I just find a corner and go lick it and I come back out to play. And, you know, that's just the way it goes. You know, there's, we can't control everything. And so, you know, just try to bronco that ride and, you know, at the end, get that fabulous kiss from your favorite cowboy for you taking on that bull and lasting on that buck, you know, that bucking ride. So just hang on and love it. And if you can, don't pull that ring, but pull a glass of some sweet, she says, some sweet booze to help you deal with the ride. Enjoyable. What did you think about the poem, Laurent?
If I was a sterner or more disagreeable person, I might conjecture that she's skimming the cream off the top, so to speak. Lost at carnival, riding on rides endlessly, licking life's candy. You can go around in that merry-go-round. And you could offer excuses as to why, because it pulls you wave after wave, taking you from pleasure to pleasure, but sooner or later, the merry-go-round grinds to a halt. And then what are we left?
True.
If I was of that nature, but I'm not, so I could say that this is very positive. Very pleasant.
Yeah, well, you know, some of us, after we get off that rough ride, shake our head, shake our clothes, shake our hips, and we just skip on along and look for the next writer, Laurent.
The skillful one.
The right one.
Yes. Yes.
Skip, skip, skip to my Lou, skip, skip, skip to my Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Laurent.
You see.
And
you see.
Yeah, you see. Thank you, Laurent. And how about you, Frank?
Well, the merry-go-round now. this poem, you know, it takes me back to my youth, you know, getting on carousels at fairs and so be at the fairgrounds. This was just, you know, it is a carousel or a merry-go-round of experiences. You know, you cannot, I'm certain all of us have gone through an experience like this of being on, you know, an experience or two or a few where you don't know whether the merry-go-round's going to take you. But it just brought me back to my own past, my infancy, when I used to get on these the carousels themselves. There was just a nicely written prompt for poem for the prompt tonight. So I thought you did a fantastic job there. And Betty is, always very creative.
Yeah, she's really good at that. What is that ride that mm-hmm. was in the middle of the playground? On the right, you might know what it's called. And it was round and it had metal bars. And you would spin it as fast as you can. And it would just turn you round and round and round and round. And if you didn't hold on, you would fly off.
It's got a dozen names. I don't remember any of them. The whirl around, whatever it is. Yeah, it can make you nauseous. I'll testify to that.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of inertia.
Yeah. I remember a couple of my friends vomiting. It was just funny. But you just hang on for your life, hoping you don't get flung off.
That makes me think of all experiences I've been on those. And it wasn't
I just
a
can't remember what it's called.
I was deceived going on to one of them. A roller coaster. I'll never forget it.
I also, when I was in Germany, they took me to a fair, and there was this machine, mm-hmm. and you held on to both of it, and they told me to hold on really tight because it was going to tell how strong I was. And I held on really tight, and then it shocked me.
Oh, yeah, I know too well.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, you know, life teaches you lessons, you know, just like I ain't stupid no more. You know, I learned the first time, hopefully. Oh, my goodness. So Delina's saying they called it a roundabout or a leasy. Yeah, there's a name for it here, just I can't remember.
Well,
and
I have no idea.
You did a great job in reading this poem, Weaver. What did you think about Betty's poem?
Well, I always love Betty's work. This was no exception. It was gentle, and it was as if she was going to enjoy it, knowing very well that she wasn't going to enjoy it because she was addicted to the highs and the lows. But wave after wave, tumbling around, caught in a strong riptide. Yeah, it's quite frightening, those kind of rides. Mm-hmm. Any of them. I've never gone on any of those big things that go whoosh and up and down. Never, never, and never will. Yuck. No thanks.
No.
It's good
you
to watch other...
never... Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, you never know how you're going to react to something till you try it, right? And, you know, people are saying this was, I did not find it fun at all because I had a terrifying experience once when I was in mm-hmm. Mexico. And the heights tend to make me, I never used to be afraid of heights. I used to climb up on the house roof and jump off. Used to climb up in the trees and jump off into the swimming pool. I mean, I did a lot of dangerous things. And now it's just like, you know, you turn wrong and you pull your back out, you know. You know, you sneeze, you pull your back out, you know, and you just, you know, we just do all those things. I don't know. I'm just like, and I know Gray, I saw a picture of him with his daughter and she was screaming and he had his hands up having a good time. I not,
no,
not for me. Now, are there certain rides I'll go on?
Certain rides. Would you bungee?
Not,
would you bungee jump?
Hell no. Are you kidding?
You won't.
Are you kidding? What if the thing breaks? Now, mountain climb and trail climbing and, you know, things where I got my, you know, my feet on or, you know, maybe a little bit of hanging, but to jump off of something, you know, I'm too afraid that it would snap. I'm not that brave.
You don't like the vomit comet?
No, I'm not a vomit comet, no. I don't like things that make me vomit. Ugh.
I bet you met some men that made you vomit, though.
Yeah. And that's why I always could go home alone.
There you go.
I'm not a wham bam thank you type of girl.
Well, I mean, you walk up to a guy and you start to talk to him, and you immediately wish you had that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't worry about that too much because then I would always say I got an appointment. I have to leave. Thank you. Nice talking to you. No.
Is that
never
before
rude,
or after the vomit?
But always found
is
a way.
Before,
cool brush off.
Is that before or after
started,
the vomit, Dan?
Well, if I start heaving in the back of my throat, it's time to go.
Oh, there you go.
Gagging is not my type of fun. Laughing is not gagging. Yeah.
Oh, there. That's the difference there.
Yeah, there is. And now we're back to poetry before we run out of time. And she was ready to go.
The Unpredictable Life by After the Fire Guest. And
he's a male.
Oh, thank you.
I can read this if you want me to.
Oh, yes, I would love you to. Thank you so much.
All right. Since my phone allowed me to open this one. The unpredictable. Our lives are not predictable. We can't see round the bend, as that is contradictable to fortune's cryptic hymn. Enigma gives life flavor, though it's often bittersweet. It's up to kismet's favor, if it's triumph or defeat. But what's the thrill in living if we see what lies ahead? Though fate is unforgiving, living sure beats being dead.
Great read, Frank. Fantastic read After the Fires poem. And let's get some comments. What did you think about this poem, Katie?
Oh, I thought it was so cute. Our lives are not predictable. I wish they were. I really do. I don't need any more excitement in my life. But this is just, this makes me want to think about these things because enigma gives life flavor, though it's often bittersweet. It's up to kismet's favor if it's triumph or defeat. I have a thing that's at the bottom of all my emails that says, I'm sorry, it would appear that my karma has driven over your dogma, which I think is, I like. But what... Yeah, it's just a little bit of fun. But what's the thrill in living if we see what lies ahead? Though fate is unforgiving, living sure beats being dead. I would disagree with that, but that's just me. I thought this was beautifully written. Mm-hmm. After the Fire, so cool. Yes, all right, mm-hmm. It's not predictable, and probably you would get bored if we knew too much about what was happening. But sometimes it can be very frightening. Yeah, it could be scary. But I thought this was beautifully written, and every point he made, you know, was a good point. Thank you.
I agree, and it's good advice. You know, life is unpredictable. We can't always, even though we make plans to do things, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be some curve at the end of the road that's going to take us off and we have to find our way back. But, you know, for me, I like flavor regardless of the, you know, like he talks here, triumph or defeat, bad or good things, you know. And I've mentioned this before, this famous cellist. His name was Zill Bailey. When we were having issues with a teacher, and the teacher was, he was horrible. He was uneducated. He was just awful, you know. No offense to him. He was a nice teacher, but he was not able to lead an orchestra. And, you know, and he told us, you know, what did you learn? Don't be like him. You know, you have to set your own path. And that's what we did with the kids. We helped them set their own path, meet their own goals, play in other orchestras and symphonies and state. And, you know, it is what you make it. And, you know, and if it's something bad, what did you learn from it? Did you learn from it? Did you learn not to do it again? So, you know, I really like this poem by After the Fire. And thank you, Weaver, for your comment. And Gray, what did you think of his poem, After the Fire's poem?
Well, I thought Frank did a great job of reading the poem. But, you know, I liked it. It's short, to the point. Really carries a strong message throughout that life is about the mystery. And, you know, going to that fate is unforgiving, but living surely beats being dead, you know. I take life over death any day, it's for sure. So well done.
I agree. And what did you think about the poem? Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
I really like A-B rhyming, especially when it's delivered in short sentences. That no long-winded baggage there, for sure. I have a theory that even you can even get bored with paradise. Too much pleasure, no pain. I do like the flavor, and this communicates that perfectly. Not so much in, you know, what have I learned that could be useful in a second life, et cetera, but what's the thrill of living if we see what lies ahead? Otherwise, what happens? We become guinea pigs on an endless little merry-go-round. Well, merry-go-round. Exercise. Same difference.
Thank you, Laurent. And how about you, Frank? You did a great job reading this poem. What did you think?
First of all, thank you for that. I welcome that. This poem really just, it just makes you just think about, you know, the unpredictability of life itself. You know, there's so much that happens in life that we plan for, but most of the time we never even fulfill that plan or half of that plan. But I honestly believe, like what Gray was saying, that I don't fear death really anymore at my age anymore. I do prefer life. You know, no matter how much it be, you know, we're not guaranteed next day, you know, we're not guaranteed the next week. We're guaranteed the present, the moment. You know, that's a little bit philosophical there. But I thought the poem took on great issues there, the unpredictability in trying to seize the moment, the notion of life, and living it to the fulfill, you know, to the maximum like that. And I thought this poem did a fantastic job, or the poet did.
I agree. You did a fantastic job. Thank you so much. And we're back to you, Katie.
Okay. I also have another adage talking about what Laurent was saying. My adage is, if it hurts, it means you're doing it wrong. There we are.
There we can't go wrong there.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I used to tell my dad, look, Dad, here it hurts. It hurts. And then he'd go with stuck to accident. Oh, that is so funny.
My mother there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That
so
is
much
funny.
Okay, we have now Every Step by Emily Dickinson. And I don't know whether this is a lady or a gentleman.
Mel.
Gray.
Mel.
Oh, excellent. Gray, could you read this for us, please?
Sure. Every Step by Emily Dickinson. Every step that you take has some doubt, whether you're without fault or devout. When you're facing your issues firsthand, you'll have questions, or life would be bland. Without rain, all would be drought. If you have wonders you're thinking about, you may whisper to someone or shout, but it's certain you will not have painted, planned every step. Or your creations may carry great clout, or have words with no word thinking about. Why, who'd predict thoughts would be grand or would go forth in awe through the land, causing all those who hear to reroute every step and poem.
Thank you, Gray Eyes. You did a fantastic read of Daniel Rickett's poem. I really, you know, it's you know, the wisdom, you know, that, you know, we hear, you know, like right here, I found this is true. Your orations may carry great clout or have words not worth thinking about. You know, who would predict that your thoughts would be grand or would go forth and all through the land, causing all those who hear to reroute every step, you know? And, you know, to me, this is a matter of thought, of wisdom, of learning. We all learn when somebody is just reeling us a bucket of bull crap, and then we all learn from somebody that sometimes doesn't have a lot to say, you know, to just say things in short words, and it just carries great clout. And, you know, you do carry that with you. And then I also have found, you know, those who have said, please don't do this, or they advise you don't do this, or withdraw from this because this is a path you can't come back from. It's dangerous. And, yeah, you know, when somebody gives you that advice, for me, it is appreciated in my life because it has many times has taken me from taking a bad step or going down a wrong word and has caused me to reroute my life steps. And I have learned to appreciate that and to listen to people who in some ways flavor my life by sprinkling it with their wisdom of knowledge. What did you think about this poem, Weaver?
Sorry, I had a cough lozenge.
That's okay.
No, I thought, oh dear, I thought this was very pertinent, you know, to the point. People do give advice. It's something people can't seem to help but do. If they see somebody trying to do something or somebody not being able to do something and they have the knowledge or the wisdom or the information that you need, they will give it to you, which is great. I don't like unsolicited advice. I like to ask for it. And when I ask for it, I will listen to it, you know, totally. But I can't be doing with people who just were always giving advice, because that's...
No, nosy baddies.
Yeah. Oh, yes, this is beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. I thought it flowed wonderfully. Can't even pick out one stanza because all three of them are wonderful. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. And how about you, Laurent?
I enjoyed this a great deal. I enjoyed the rhyming scheme and the way it was presented. There's a note of sarcasm in that last stanza. Who'd predict that your thoughts would be grand or would go forth in all through the land? Well, no one would unless the person had a strong ego and was full of himself. But there are times when anyone can drop a great wisdom. Sometimes it comes out of the blue. Sometimes it's a result of living life the way they have and realizing that situations do tend to repeat or that there are answers to conundrums. It's a very interesting poem. I like the thoughts it raises.
Agreed. Excellent comment, Laurent. And how about you, Frank?
I like the notion of this poem here, Every Step. I agree that, you know, we take a stride, you know, every day, you know, whether it's a mental, physical, we endure. And I thought, you know, the whole notion of, you know, sometimes we don't realize just how much we are influenced or how much we influence others, how much we are inspired or how much we inspire others. You know, I've gone through that in my personal life. And I have to say, I do not seek the wisdom unless I have the necessary, you know, understanding of what I'm asking. I've learned that through my years. Mm-hmm. And I think this poem really touches on the notion there of you know, reflection, really, really deep reflection. And it's something that we should all ponder at one point in our, you know, in our days, to how much and for how long can we be inspired or inspire others. And sometimes it's only the smallest thing that could be inspiring. So this really does touch on a very philosophical notion there of what we are capable of as humans.
Agreed. Fantastic comments. And Gray, what did you think?
Welcome.
Thank you, Frank.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed it. It was a pleasure to read it. But, you know, every step, you know, you're learning as you go. So whether you're without faith or devout, whether you're facing issues firsthand, you'll have questions, or life would be bland without rain all around, would be drought. I mean, we need a little rain in our lives to keep things moist and fertile. So I really enjoyed the write.
Thank you, Greg.
What everybody else said as well.
Thank you. Back to you, Katie.
Right, we're 5 minutes past the hour. Now, Lou, would you like me to go on to the front page picks for January or carry on down?
Yes, please.
Yes, okay.
No problem. Yeah. Let's do, because we got front page picks, but I'd like to do, before we do that, I'd like to do the open poetry, which is bottom. We have one by Frank, one by Sharp, and one by Hope. And I know, and then also we have Laurent on the phone, and I believe he has a poem, but I will have to search for it if you want to start with open poetry.
Yes, no problem. That's why I thought I would ask. Always best.
Yes.
This is interesting. Who could we get to read this, I wonder? Let me just see. Got to be somebody who's erudite.
Great. Hold on.
Yes?
Gray, was Phil ever to put up Sharp's poem on his recording out of curiosity?
Well, I'll take a look.
Okay, if you want to start with Frank.
Yes, we have a sound.
Are we ready for that?
We have a sound clip.
And
Frank, would you like to read this up? Or have
I prefer the SoundCloud, yeah.
I thought so. Right, so there's a SoundCloud for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Is it up on there? I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll tell you in a moment. Oh, 1 sec. I thought I'd put it on, but obviously not.
Oh, my God. Okay, let me look.
It's there. The rocking chair.
Yes, okay. I see it. You can go ahead and play the SoundCloud. And I advise... This is only all for fun, okay? No spooks intended here, but it's
Oh, no.
And, yeah, Laurent does have a front page pick, too, so all those need to be read. Here we go.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this.
Gray?
Yep.
Can you please play the rocking chair for Frank?
This first class of planks of the wooden floor is a low rocking chair that begins to move back and forth slowly, taunting you deliberately as the creaking noise is heard subtly. A whispering every noise can be heard so clearly. From the corridor upstairs and the cold draught piercing from outside can be felt pinging like a needle as you enter cautiously. The dreary chamber of a boulder hall with a sudden echo resounding against the four hollow walls. Hear the footsteps of an unknown stranger, the voices of children singing nursery rhymes. It is the madness you are. A paranormal event, untold, beyond the shriek of a woman. Are you hearing surreal things of which are not real at all? The hairs on your skin rise uncontrollably and tingle nervously, and you feel the chills running down your spine as a mysterious shadow scurries across the room to the daunting corner. The sound grows louder. You begin to feel the vapor of a haunting breath of a ghost upon your neck discompose as the deep breathing gets even louder in sound. And the rocking chair begins to move back and forth once more, rocking your little brain. A lone shadow stands behind you, the whispers of I live, in the booth.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you, that rocking chair would be gone as soon as possible. That was terrifying. Those type of things that people experience, which people do experience this type of haunting and terror, I have absolute sympathy for you because it is something that's horrifying. You just don't forget it, and it's always in the back of your mind. What did you write this for, Frank?
This is actually a short story that I wrote afterward that's called The Rocking Chair. It's just a precursor to that short story. Before I wrote the short story, I wrote this particular piece here as a poem.
Oh, no, thank you. Oh, no.
If you read my short story,
People would go, let's go into this haunted house. And I say, you go into that haunted house. I wait for you out here just to find in the sun. Not me. And congratulations on the goal. This was well deserved. This was just terrifying. Oh, my God. And sound effects are just excellent. Thank you so much. And Weaver, what did you think?
Hello. All I can say is the window's closed again. That's not happening. Wow. I mean, I'm a little old lady who's terrified. I hope you're proud of yourself, Frank. I won't be sleeping tonight.
It's only the rocking chair there, Weaver.
If you say so. Oh, my goodness, that was creepy. And what on earth? I mean... Ah, those lovely sound effects scared the bejesus out of me. Very well done, and I can see why it got the gold. It was very, very well done. And not overtly horrific at all. It just sneakily get in there with your spine-tingling little lines, which I think were wonderful. So thank you so much for sharing that, and don't do it again.
No, that's fine, not to be. I'll try to be a good boy next time. A good laugh.
Thank you.
So good. Thank you, Weaver. Oh, my God. Yeah, I was going to say, did you warn Weaver? Oh, my goodness. Greg, what did you think?
Well, you know, you're such a master of sound clouds that you really captured the essence of the prompt with your read quite fantastically. You know, it was a journey through this trip that you took through this haunted house and all that entails. So just a fantastic, engaging write. With excellent imagery, and you could feel the chills run up your spine with your laughter and your sound clouds. So beautifully right.
Well, I asked you really quick, frightened about rocking chair, have you had one? Have you heard it creak?
Yeah, I'd be the hell out of there.
Oh, there you go.
I would be hanging around for it to whisper, I live. No.
No, I don't mess with stuff like that. How about you, Laurent?
I hope you're not scared tonight to sleep there.
I don't have a rocking chair. or I sleep. I don't have a rocking chair. I have a old desk swivel that's made out of wood, you know, from the 1940s. But it does rock, but not like that. Oh, oh my goodness!
I'll send it to you tonight. I'll send it to you.
Mm-mm. No, thank you.
Okay.
I love you, but no, thank you.
I
what did you think, Lauren?
I once tried to talk that way. I was hoarse for 2 days. You have very flexible vocal cords, Frank, and you carry the necessary elements of horror in that voice, and you bring it all alive in a very, as Katie said, in a very eerie fashion. Well done, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Laurent. It was a pleasure to write this poem and share it tonight.
Thank you. And Katie is ready for our next open poetry poem.
And yes, we have news by our very own Hope Soul. I'm going to read this, and I hope it do it justice. So if I stutter, I'm so sorry. I get nervous. Yeah, right, here we are. News. Oh, cool.
Aww. No.
Isn't that lovely? Yeah. Let these soft feminine Hispanic hands dirt out the body of you, mapping the darkened shadows, inking rose thorns that strangle pale flesh of Portuguese skin, touching fragile arras imperfections that make you perfect. Lean in the arches of your temple, house's sanctuary steeple, tipsy vintage white wine pours down vertical horizons, showering groves of green olive vineyards, that ripen in harvest of blood moons I create with you. Spilling down the canvas, caramelized honeydew drippings, collecting at the four corners of our smudging fingertips in the ash from tobacco burned out that leaves your fiery lungs bathed, created in his artistry. Day breaking dawns, imploding starlight, aurora, be my last, always till ever and after. Muse Poetica. End poem.
Oh, you did such a beautiful, beautiful job of reading Pope's poem. I just thought her imagery in her was breathtaking. You could just see her painting him with her words in each and every stanza. I cannot pick out just one stanza because I unloved the entire piece. And I really love how she starts this up. Let these soft feminine Hispanic hands search out the body of you, mapping the darkened shadows, inking rose thorns that strangle pale flesh of Portuguese skin, touching fragile areas, imperfections that make you perfect. You know, sometimes, you know, especially for a man, you know, it's perceived that whatever weakness they have or whatever pain that they have makes them less man, less what you call macho. But I find that a man who is sensitive, who doesn't, I can see the pain, but I can't always get them to reveal it. But it is revealed in time because sometimes what can't be said with words can be said in the actions of the body, of the touching and the healing, and that it just makes them more beautiful to you. And I thought that she expressed this so beautifully for Nuno. This is just an exquisite poem of artistry. What did you think about the poem, Gray?
You know, her poetic talent shines through and is right. She captures him in such a wonderful light with her words, and their relationship shines throughout this poem. So just a beautiful write on the subject of her muse. Again, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to know what you think about the poem, Nora.
This is a wonderful medley of metaphors. Everything is cast in the form of a metaphor, is so skillfully drawn, like the one that you quoted, like the second stanza. Lean in the arches of your temple, houses, sanctuary, steeple. Tipsy vintage white wine pours down vertical horizons, scouring graves of lean, groves of lean and olive dunes. Beautifully written. I agree with everything you said about it.
Thank you, Murat. And Frank, what did you think of Hope's poem?
It was very, very exquisite. The more that I across, I always hear it on the show. I can't be in a amused. Brightness, nature, it's beautiful because it comes natural. I think this type of poetry, inspiring, is really breathtaking, I would say. I think she did fantastic with the metaphors in particular. So it was a great, great poem.
Agreed. I agree. And Reaver, you read this poem. What did you think?
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And there's so much sweetness and love and caring comes from this. I particularly love spilling down canvas, caramelized honeydew drippings collecting at the four corners of our smudging fingertips. Beautifully written. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. She did a great job in reading her poem. It was beautiful. I'm going to ask you, since we only have like 40 minutes left, I would like to get in Laurent's front page pick, Stelina, because she's on the board. They're both here. There are readers. And then I would like to do Titus and Sharp, because Titus didn't, before I could get the program up, he put it in early, so I didn't want to mess up it up so much that it would be difficult for you. So if we could get Laurent, Delina, Titus, and Sharp. And then go to, see if we can get some front page fix in. Do you need some help with that, me putting it out on the board? Let's see.
She put Sharp up already.
Mm-hmm. So let me see. Where is it? Now we're going to have to search. And I don't know if you want to put yours up because you also got a front page pick. Okay.
Sharp is already on the board.
Okay. All right.
Do you want me to put it up?
She put Sharp up. So we'll go ahead and do Sharp. We get one of those down. And that will give her time to look for yours.
I can read this poem really quick.
Is that okay with you, Weaver? Weaver?
Hello? I gone?
We didn't hear you. Yeah, you were gone. Can we go ahead, since you got Sharps up, Frank asked if he could read that. So is that okay with you?
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then Laurent can read his piece afterwards as well. All right, this is a poem here by our good friend Ian S. Sharp. It's called The Underworld's Revenge, and it goes like this. Let blood boil beneath Ekron, subterranean rivers, surface and distant scriptures, for seven princes carried in the papyrus, the lantern of light, gathered in the fire and brimstone, eternal darkness, brought into light. From the impetus of Abaddon near Sheol, whom the underworld caverns where molten times hardened like stew and resolve, cracks form in the bottom of the earth, rumblings of history underneath it all escape, steam pass from every pore on her face. Do not tell me of its mythology, simply wrap the earth up in onto itself, like a sock road inside out, and let it erupt, spew its venom like the vomit of an ill child. In the poem.
Oh my goodness, this is just fantastic. I went to go look at the picture that he was writing for, and to me, he made that image just come to light in fiery imagery, especially, you know, I could just see them riding through the subterranean rivers. And, oh, my gosh, Frank, you did such a gorgeous job in reading this. But I really liked, because there's a volcano in this where he says, inside out, and let it erupt, spew its venom like the vomit of an ill child. You know, where that's that projectile vomit that just shoots straight, it's just forceful and shoots straight out like a hose. It just goes everywhere. You know, the violence of it, I could just see the earth shaking and doing this. I thought he did a fabulous job in bringing that photograph to life. What did you think about the poem, Weaver?
Yes, this was a tempestuous and very strong poem. I really enjoyed it. It's got that sort of earthy speed and meaning, and along the underworld caverns where molten times harden like steel and resolve cracked forms in the body of the earth. There you are, you see the earth falling apart at the seams. I thought it was beautifully done. I always like S. Sharp's work anyway, so this is just another wonderful journey. And I learn things every day. So thank you for that.
Yeah, agreed. And what did you think about the poem, Gray?
I really liked it. You know, it's really a powerful poem. It was speaking to the seven deadly sins and, you know, how they travel and, you know, along the underworld caverns where molten times harden like steel in resolve, cracks from in the body of the earth, rumblings throughout history. Underneath it all, escape. Yeah, just a fantastic poem, beautifully written.
Great. Thank you, Frank. And how about you, Laurent?
I thought the mythological and literary references gave the poem some real verisimilitude, some real truth. The flavor of the underworld was, and the way he wraps it up, well, to use his words, wrap the earth up and into itself like a sock rolled inside out, let it erupt. You would spend him the vomit of an age. Wonderful language, wonderful phrase.
Agreed. Thank you. Thank you, Laurent. And Frank, you read this. What did you think?
No, you know, references to Abaddon show. It took me to the underworld there. It did a fantastic job here of using the lore and the mythology, I would say, of these particular places. It's a dark imagery. It's dark imagery that he talks about, but it's a very, very creative, the right words. And I really did enjoy the metaphors and the reference there to the Quran, to Abaddon, to Shu. You know, those are Hebrew, Hebrew references there. So we really did touch on wonderful, wonderful elements there of historical references there that we know. He did a fantastic job.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, Weaver, who we got next? Thank you, Frank.
Next we have Poseidon Seas by our very own Laurent. So it's over to you, buddy.
Hey. All right, Poseidon Seas. Blue curl, foam, and wave, split in twain by the thrusting of a great wooden bow. A carved god dips her toes into the salt sea. With each cresting, a white-capped swell. Sea breeze carries spray and a rushing whistle. Sails snap. Singing ropes creak and thrum. Sharp slap of feet on wet deck. Shouted orders send sailors scampering aloft to starboard. A whale breaches. Lookout gives voice. Whale ho! Pace of work slows, pauses, rows of white eyes lining the rail. Blue Leviathan is a wonder of the sea, doubling ship's weight. Sailors crowd on sail. The great ship tacks over the wind, faster, prouder, flying through the wavescapes, a froth of cold brine spanning ship's length from bow to stern, sluicing the decks clean. A voice rings out, calling for a song. Others join in the clamor, and it is put to the first mate to choose. Boys, give 'em spend our money on Sally Brown, he shouts. Harmonica music accompanies the chorus of voices and the lusty strains of the sea shanty. A pair of dolphins riding the ship's bow wave rise up as if listening to the singing that echoes across rough waters. A man's spirit soars at these moments. He is aboard a mighty beast of a ship, under full sail, his mates crowding his sides, all in full voice with the joy of life and the girls they love who await their return. You feel as tall as the sky and wide as Poseidon's seas. Nothing is stronger or faster. Betimes you be right, betimes you be wrong, but now, in the moment, you be right. End thought.
You know, I really enjoyed this read, an entire adventure that you took us on. I could just feel the sea, salty sea breezes in my face and the waves. And, you know, you could just feel the joy and the power of sailing on that mighty ship with, you know, catching whales. And I smiled when you got to the where they start singing harmonica music accompanies the chorus of voices and the lusty streams of she shanty, you know, them thinking about waiting for their wives and how the dolphins ran along. I could just you just took me on a sea ocean trip back into time, and I could just feel and taste the air and the excitement that these men, you know, there wasn't always a good, but when it's good, it was good. And coming home and celebrating in the bars and, mm-hmm. and sharing. I thoroughly enjoyed this journey you took me on. It was just absolutely beautiful, Laurent. And Weaver, what did you think? You're welcome.
I concur. This is taking me right back to my sailing days. There is nothing more exhilarating than catching the wind in your sails and taking off and moving swiftly, and then suddenly you've lost the wind and you're becalmed for a little while, and it comes back and off you go. It's a lovely feeling to be on the sea in a boat that's got sails, and a sailing boat. I wouldn't go into a powerboat, but a sailing boat is wonderful. And the camaraderie when everybody has to work together mm-hmm. is amazing, amazing. So, Laurent, this was wonderful. I was on that voyage with you. I was the first mate, by the way. Just want you to know.
Was that a
done.
Pirate
oh,
voice there, Weaver?
Was that, what was that, Frank?
A pirate voice there. That would be of yours.
Pirate voice. Yes.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, that was an excellent comment. What did you think, Gray?
I really liked it. You know, it took you back to the era of the wooden sailing ship and the life that was lived on the waters as, you know, you journeyed, and this was definitely an up as opposed to a down. So betimes you be right, betimes you be wrong, but now, in the moment, you be right. And it's such a magical moment that you capture there as, you know, you picture these dolphins running along the bow of the ship as it Breaks Water, and I thought it was just an excellent write, excellent read. Great
it's
job, Mark.
Thank you, Gray. I appreciate that comment. And it's funny because anyone who's ever been on, let's say, a large ship at speed, it creates such a bow rate, bow waves, excuse me. The dolphins will literally ride it. They will surf it, sometimes for minutes. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, you can picture it.
Fantastic. And how about you, Frank?
Well, you know, I too felt like I was on an adventure here. I almost felt you took me to ancient Greece and to Crete here with this poem here. You know, a civilization such as the Greeks, even the Norsemen, you know, they use wooden boats just to travel. And, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful poem that really just makes you ponder about his history and how far, you know, we've advanced, you know, sailing-wise. But it's a very, very well-written poem, Laurent, and I think you did a fantastic job. I can't think of anyone else who could write like you and bring a narrative and make it just seem so appealing and so real.
Well, I think that thank you, Frank. I think what Katie said is absolutely true. There are moments, just moments, because it's a lot of hard work and danger, but there are moments that you just cannot replace any other way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Mm,
and
absolutely.
I would like to ask you what inspired you to write this, Laurent?
I'm not even sure there was a prompt. It was just something about tall ships. I think I'd seen a contest and missed it, but decided to write about it anyhow. The experiences are all mine, but they're all cast in sailing ship days simply because it's much more romantic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you did. I enjoyed it. Yeah, you took us there, all of us were there. You just feel everything. That's a good poet. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we're back to you, Katie.
Yes, and we have Adorns a Lovely Drape by Titus Llewellyn. I believe that's a Seven Clouds, is that correct, Tom?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Thank you, Graham.
Adorns a Lovely Drape. Divine Comedy, indeed, modern day. The welcoming bedroom, then come what may, with such profound standing as you, my dear. If I were to lay, suggests a peach, you'd leer. You would condone being stretched out upon courtly nuptials. The sunniest are drawn, describes a wanton bribe by your bedside. Whispered dreams would hardly seem to confide, sat here. One can hardly listen closer. Encroached upon you, being more a poser. Slovenly loose covers were to be pulled back in haste, but no, as I duly gave a flimsy smack, a plumped up pillow to wallow in, as you do. Captivating ways no other man can be due a woman's pangs, their hangs of submission, a throwback to ask me for permission. But if there is any bounce in that old thing, a morning tea will do until the late spring. Literally, a retrograde we opposites attract. Within this vantage point, distraction tact rarely serves these days a corona hitched high above. I bemoan it is highly pitched.
You know, he always writes such beautiful romantic poetry. I know a lot of it is dedicated to his wife. And, you know, it's just, I loved where he brought out, which I do believe this. A morning tea will do until the late spring. Literally a retrograde we opposites attract. Within this vantage point distraction, tact rarely serves these days. A corona hitched high above, I bemoan, it is highly pitched. You know, I could just, you know, visually see all, this is another visual poem. His imagery is always beautiful, you know, where he talks about the pillows and, you know, and I do believe opposites attract. That's what that spice is, that's flavoring, and it's just so Victorian and beautiful. What did you think about the poem, Weaver?
Oh, yes, definitely all of what you said and more. It was absolutely lovely. It's a knack, isn't it, to be able to build a picture so easily. Well, it may appear easy, of course, but not necessarily easy. I thought, and the SoundCloud was fabulous. So, altogether, very, very well done, and I really enjoyed it. It was deep, but very interesting, deep, and I love that picture. So that's Divine Comedy indeed. Wonderful. So thank you very much for sharing.
I agree. And what did you think about the poem, Gray? Thank you, Weaver.
He used his words to paint this picture with skill and tact. I enjoyed it. You know, it was definitely a well-read SoundCloud, and a morning tea will do until the late spring. Literally a retrograde, we opposites attract. Within this vantage point distraction, tact rarely serves these days. A corona hitched high above, I bemoan, it's highly pitched. Yeah, wonderful, right?
Great, thank you. And how about you, Laurent?
Such a skillful writer. Divine Comedy, indeed,
yeah.
Modern day, and it is. A man and a woman, one perhaps more eager for sex than the other. Where's that line? A plumped up pillow to wallow in, as you do, captivates in ways no other man can bedew a woman's pangs. There hangs a submission, a throwback to ask me for permission. The lines are you talk about a double entendre. These are double entendres with such skills, such layering. If I were to lay, suggest to peach, you'd leer. You would condone being stretched out upon courtly nuptials. The sunniest are drawn, describes a wanton bribe by your bedside. Wow. I mean, I really am completely, completely beside myself and impressed with this piece.
Oh, thank you. That's a wonderful comment. Thank you, Laurent. And how about you, Frank?
Yeah, Titus is a very exceptional writer. He has a muse that he uses in most of his pieces that's very, you know, it's just very breathtaking. Because the way he uses that muse is it just shows in his metaphors, you know. And you know, he takes me back to my memories there when I used to write Victorian poems. Perhaps I'll bring one of my old Victorian poems here. Very exquisite and extraordinary writer he is. And SoundClouds, as always, are very entertaining, and he's very proficient in what he does.
Agreed. I think so, too. Thank you so much, Titus. And we're back to you, Weaver.
Excuse me. Sorry. Losing my voice. We have Shores of Surrender by Stelina. And Gray, I wonder if you play the SoundCloud, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
Imprisoned in this malignant mire of a life, suspended precariously over a putrid pit of perfidy. Mistrust and suspicion thrive, reveling as I stumble at each scope for escape. Voices whispering,
"No, you can't get away."
In my struggle to flee foul facets of my existence, I face foes that, feeding off my fragility, force me down further into fathomless depths, flailing desperately to stay afloat, voices affirming,
"No, you can't get away."
In maelstroms of magnifying melancholia, I meander. The path before me, a meaningless maze, where minor matters take on magnitude, inducing incomprehensible misery. Voices murmur, "No, you can't get away.
You can't get away.
What of the future? The past has set the course. The tempestuous voyage will soon reach its end. The destination, now in clear, unobstructed view. The clamorous call reverberating through me. Voices shouting,
"No, you can't get away."
Floundering on shores of surrender, I lie, ripples of reluctance remaining within are shackled by the strong arm of suppression, its vice-like grip too vehement to relinquish power, voices screaming,
"No, you can't get away."
Oh my goodness, what a fantastic poem and lyrics by Selena, and that echoing voice of Arcana in the background just pulls you in deeper. You know, this is deeply painful, and it just pulls you in because, you know, sometimes you feel like you cannot get up out of that darkness of whatever, you know, is holding us down, whether it's something physically, a person or somebody that makes us not believe in ourselves, or it's ourselves where we feel like we cannot escape. You know, where it, you know, she brings out that even the simplest things can just, you know, just bring us down. And, you know, and it does, sometimes you feel like you're in this maze that, you know, you just find there's no way for you to get out, and you believe you can't get out. And you know, what's horrible is that echoing of self-doubt that you keep hearing. You know, what she brings out here, it's a lie, but, you know, it says, let me hear, let read her last. Floundering on shores of surrender, I lie, ripples of reluctance remaining within are shackled by the strong arm of suppression, its vice-like grip to venomous to relinquish power. Voices screaming, "No, you can't get away. You can never get away." And, you know, that voice of desperation, it just will literally cause so much agony and pain and disbelief in yourself. What did you think of Selena's poem, Weaver?
As ever, absolutely magnificent. I love your alliteration. It is never too much. It's just perfect. In maelstroms of magnifying melancholia, I meander. The path before me, a meaningless maze. It's just really, really beautifully done. I know there must be so much work that goes into composing and recording and getting, but it never seems to be. It's always easy on the ears and beautifully, beautifully read. Your voice is getting better. I thought it was really wonderful. I just keep looking at all the lines and I'm thinking, wow, force me down further into fathomless depths, flailing desperately to stay afloat. Oh, wow, that must be such a horrible feeling up many else, but so beautifully put. I loved it. Thank you so much, Delina. It was beautiful.
I agree. It was fantastic. And what did you think about the poem Gray Eyes?
You know, the melancholy is palpable in this, right? You can feel that the aloneness and the desperation and the despair that holds the person in prison of their own mind, and you can never get away. You can never get away. I really enjoyed it. It was beautifully crafted, SoundCloud as well. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you so much, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent? Laurent, are you on mute?
Yes, I thought I would practice reading to myself alone. What of the future? The past has set the course. The tempestuous voyage will soon reach its end. The destination now in clear, unobstructed view. A clamorous call reverberating through me. Voices shouting, no, you can't get away. As much as I appreciate the skillful alliteration of the second and third stanzas, I love the quoted stanza here because it's a course defined, heading for an inexorable end. It's a poem dipping into the mire of depression, coupled with, as ever, perfect presentation.
I agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And how about you, Frank?
I think she did a fantastic job in a great. I would say collab their voices there with Arcana. She is just getting better and better more with her renditions of her poetry. This is a very melancholic piece. It's a very dark piece, but it has, I would think, a message to it, a moral to the piece. I think she did a fantastic job. Yeah, I was completely immersed, I would say, in just the narration completely.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Frank. And wonderful, wonderful expression of pain and agony. Some people suffer. It's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're back to you, Katie. So just any poem, since we only have, I think, time for one more.
7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. We have...
Does Gray not have a poem?
I've got Envy by Lila.
Okay.
And I tried to send it, but it's not. Oh, got it. Yes.
Yeah, just went in.
Okay, good.
And she has a SoundCloud too, doesn't she?
I think she usually does.
Yes, she does. Yeah,
yes.
Gray, can you get Lila's SoundCloud?
Envy, poor Iago, you were not God's favorite, but you turned, fevered and fearlessly, on the favorite. Amen. Comisaria suited Iago Green in a rearguard mask of many faces made of four masks hemmed with decimal seductions of incestuous triangles, hexa of Navajo serpentale, and from bulbs hourglass, multiple refractions of fleur de mal up from the sand around your ostrichian head. Ah, warum sie du down dort in more space, a mere flash of blood heat, a pulse of works from eyes in her eye, shaped by the moon's long sway among the shishi betweens of Lead and Manasis. Among that space, Taiki rolled your eyes, wherein clay fallows and we took root in you grew plate of fire and water that became your backlit tongue. Dry light twinkle, twinkle from further, farther backlit Caesarean, the smaller our shadows came, blood bloomed outward, burnt the drafty fire, where burned your flyers and your books, bloodless her carcass fumed, with many smells, all to a Janaya room, down Dorthin module grade, formed between more and wise, the grey egg of circumstance. Where they and you felt the sordid aftermath. Our mastery, smell them out.
I want to thank Leela. I want to read you one of her comments where she was reading this poem. She says, it means a lot to me to be acknowledged as the archaeologist of the unburied in this bay, a wild time digger. Priya, thank you for sharing the language of understanding with me via many types of silence. And thank you for the prize. It is my acknowledgement for the ontological quiet of created poems, which is not non-pronunciation, but a disembodied space for the body of words in the middle of the execution of personal truth and time. It is total stillness, generous silence, reminiscent or expressive silence, artistic, emancipation from oneself, art liberation from a specific piece of art, art liberation from history, split libertism from matter, mind libertism from a perpetual and intellectual limit. It is more difficult when the awareness is engaged as it begins to roam through the disconnected libraries of what has been read and learnt, complicating and looking for the exceptional in the simplicity of poetic pictures and words. Poetry is the unburdened archaeology. Poetry is a speech sculpture. Poetry is a fissure in the assurance wall. Poetry is rediscovered voice of bygone era. Poetry is reminder before oblivion, and readers and authors like you are required for that awareness. And, you know, she writes such fantastic imagery where she uses history in the past and she mixes it in with words that we say today, and she paints her own picture that she puts up there. And I thought that she did this fantastic. What did you think, Weaver?
Excuse me. Yes, I love her reading voice. And this was so deep and so layered. It's very difficult one to pick anything out, really, but hemmed with decimal seductions of incestual triangles. Hexa of Navajo servant tale, and from bulb's hourglass, multiple reflections of fleur-de-mal up from the sand around your Austrian head. Beautifully done, and really well read. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. We've got 90 seconds. What did you think, Gray?
You know, she's definitely got a powerful mind, and that comes through in this, right? You know, she captures all the essences of envy throughout different cultures and times. So wonderful job, beautiful SoundCloud.
Thank you. And how about you, Laurent?
Yeah, I caught that among other things, that reference between Leda and Nemesis, Leda being presumably raped by Zeus and hatching out Helen from an egg, which I believe is the gray egg of circumstance, mentioned in the last full stanza. Really remarkable work.
Great, thank you. And Frank?
Yeah, I'll be brief here. Remarkable poetry, remarkable song, club. Tip my hat off to him.
Thank you very much. I want to thank everybody who called the show. Fantastic poetry. Thank you, Weaver, Gray Eyes, Laurent, Frank. I also want to thank Selena and Nuno and Hope for staying on the board and staying with us. We love you guys and appreciate you, and we will see you next Monday with more fantastic poetry. Besitos a todos. Good night,
Buenas
everybody.
Noches.
Buenas noches. Buenas noches. Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Weaver. Good night, Greg. Good night, Laurent. Frank. Guys, love you guys.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stay warm.